It is simply part of the human condition that sometimes we hurt one another. Only God is perfect, we are not, and despite our best intentions, at one time or another, each of us says or does something that hurts someone. We all have had times and will have times in the future that we make choices that are hurtful to others. Times that we inadvertently do something that causes another person pain. I think it's for this reason that the marriage rite in the Book of Common Prayer makes this so clear. Following the exchange of vows and just before the couple is blessed, prayers are offered. And included among those prayers is one that prays, "Give them grace when they hurt each other to recognize and acknowledge their fault and to seek each other's forgiveness." The prayer just assumes that every couple at one point or another will hurt one another. Even in the joy of their wedding day, the liturgy is clear that there will be challenging times ahead. The important thing is that in any relationship, what is important is how these times are handled. And I think that that prayer in the wedding rite offers guidance. When we hurt someone, it tells us that it's important to recognize our fault and then to seek forgiveness. In doing this, there is the possibility of reconciliation, of restoration of the relationship. This process of honest acknowledgement, confession, repentance, and reconciliation can actually strengthen and deepen a relationship. Trust can be developed in this process. Likewise, when someone hurts us, we are called to work towards forgiving them, that reconciliation takes place, that the relationship is restored, if at all possible. This is true in marriage, but it's certainly true in all other relationships. When there is a fracture of some kind, it is to be dealt with honestly, with humility, striving towards reconciliation so the relationship can be restored and strengthened. In fact, this call to reconciliation is at the heart of being a follower of Jesus, and it is the church's mission. The Catechism in the Book of Common Prayer says, "The mission of the Church is to restore all people to unity with God and each other in Christ." As the Church, Christ's body in the world, we are a community set apart by the call to holiness. We are called to be holy as God is holy. We are a people consecrated, a priestly people. God lovingly gives us all that we have, and in response, we are called to offer everything back to God. Our lives are called to be an offering of thanksgiving, of humility, of loving service. Our call is to be conformed to the ways of God, not the ways of this world. We are to follow Jesus in his way of love. Our charge is to be the beloved community on earth, a community that is an icon of God's love, a window opening onto God's love, revealing the divine life of love. This way of love is certainly demanding, and it does not come naturally to us. In fact, it's contrary to how we are taught to live in the world. It requires we overcome our personal impulses and desires for the sake of the community, the sake of others, for the greater good. Living as Jesus asked means that we have to unlearn the ways of the world and learn the ways of God's reign. Living as the beloved community requires that we give up all violence, consumerism, greed, individualism, and white supremacy. It demands that we live in service to others, not for ourselves alone. It involves repenting of our misdoings and making amends, and it requires that we forgive others as God forgives us. This way of holy living is expressed in ordinary daily interactions. Following Jesus, we are called to live differently from the ways of the world around us. Our actions are rooted in values that are, in fact, at odds with the ways of the world. In our Gospel this week, Matthew offers concrete teaching on how we are called to live. In this passage, Jesus addresses how to handle conflict in the church. He tells us that when a member sins against us, we are to quietly address the matter with that individual. By doing so, the intention is that repentance and reconciliation may come about. What Jesus does not say is if someone hurts us, we should publicly shame them. Our response to being hurt should not be to take to our social media accounts and tell everyone how we are affected by that person's behavior towards us. Unlike what we see commonly every day, we must not call a person out in publicly, individually, nor should we complain to others behind that person's back. Instead, we are called to the demanding work of speaking directly to the one who offended us. In humility, we are to come to them to speak with honesty and respect. And this is to be done privately in an effort to heal the rupture in the relationship, to come to reconciliation. But if that is not successful, Jesus then says, we are to ask one or two others to join the conversation. And those two, one or two others, are present to assist in this process, to make sure the conversation's rooted in truth and in respect. Their role is to help facilitate the conversation, to listen carefully, to help move the two parties to restoration, if at all possible. They are present in order that truth is spoken in love. And then, if that fails, as it does sometimes, Jesus says the matter is to be taken to the church, to the entire community, with the hope that together reconciliation can happen. But if that is not successful, Jesus says that the individual then can be removed from the community. This sounds harsh, even extreme to us. We understand the church as a voluntary group where any may join and are reluctant to ask anyone to leave the community. But in the first century, the Christian community was understood primarily as a corporate body. Unlike in our society, first century society was not so structured around the individual. People were seen as part of the whole. Individuals are part of the community. But if one person's behavior hurts the body, threatens the well-being of the entire community, and that one refuses to repent and be reconciled, then the understanding was they would be asked to leave. The body is so valuable, so important for God's mission in the world, it must always reflect the divine way of love. If one person threatens this, then they must leave for the sake of the whole. Removing someone from the community would only be for the most egregious behaviors that seriously affected the well-being of the entire body. Once asked to leave the community, those removed became exiles from the church. Matthew says, if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Again, this sounds like extreme behavior, contrary to how we understand Jesus and his call. But I think it's important to remember how Jesus relates to Gentiles and to tax collectors. He doesn't reject and ignore them. Instead, he seeks them out. He talks with them. He shares meals with them. He invites them to follow him. And so I think Matthew is actually calling the church not to ostracize and give up on anyone, but instead he's reminding us that perhaps in time, through persistent prayer and invitation, an ostracized person can come to repentance and be restored and reconciled with the entire community. that reconciliation is always possible and that we should work to achieve it. Matthew's text reminds us of the high calling that we have received. As the beloved community, we are witnesses to God's love, mercy, and compassion. In this way of love, no person is expendable. All are beloved children of God. Everyone must be treated with the dignity and the respect they deserve as children of God. And so even when we disagree with someone, or when we are hurt by another person, we must never forget our unity in Christ. We must treat all others as Jesus would. Our gospel reminds us when it says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." It reminds us that in all we do, we are gathered by Jesus into the community of his body. And as his body, the risen Jesus is always with us, present in our midst, present as we undertake the demanding work of living as the beloved community. So when two followers of Jesus who are alienated and at odds with one another come together and work towards reconciliation, despite any anger or hurt they may have, the assurance is that Jesus is in their midst, that Jesus is present, strengthening them in that hard work that they undertake. Through the power of Jesus present with each of us in every moment of every day, we are able to cast off the ways of this world, the ways which divide and alienate, which judge and cast out, and instead incarnate the ways of God's kingdom on earth. This is the holy work that God has given us to do. Today's gospel could not offer a sharper contrast with the ways of our world. As you well know, for years we have, as a nation, have been divided and polarized, often unable to speak across our difference. It seems this division is growing stronger with each passing month. This is evident in many ways, in many places, including on social media. I have to be honest with you that increasingly I only view my social media accounts sparingly and in small doses. Too many posts rush to judgment and condemnation of those someone disagrees with. Name-calling and shaming are frequently used. I just find it painful. It leaves me feeling sad and demoralized and thinking this is not how Jesus calls us to treat one another. There are many in our nation who cannot discuss their opinions, their positions with respect, who don't want to seek understanding, to come to know those who differ from them, and to search for common ground. Instead, lines are drawn and insults are hurled across the divide. There's more shouting at one another than speaking with the hope of understanding and unity. And so I think this is a time that the world desperately needs our witness to Jesus' way of love. As followers of Jesus, our call is to live as Jesus, to love all no matter what. We must reject all violence and trust in the power of God's love to overcome hatred and evil. We are to remember that those who disagree with us, those who are our enemies, are beloved children of God. Our call is to build a community in which all are valued as beloved of God and to commit ourselves to the demanding work of reconciliation. In all we do, Jesus stands with us, leading us, guiding us, strengthening us, and renewing us. In this time when respect of others seems in short supply and reconciliation seems a very far way off, may we commit ourselves to building the beloved community here on earth, following the witness of our loving Savior. Following him, may our witness and the witness of all who follow Jesus spread God's love across the face of the earth, that this world might be transformed from hatred and division by the all-powerful, transforming love of God. May we all be reconciled by the power of God's wide, embracing love. Amen.